Agamemnon, Part II, by Aeschylus. Translated by Robert Browning. This LibriVox recording is in the public domain. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. Part II. Chorus. O'ercome by words, their sense I do not gainsay, for I this breeds youth in the old, to learn well. But these things most the house in Clytemnestra concern, 'tis likely, while they make me rich too. Clytemnestra. I shouted long ago, indeed, for joyance, when came that first night messenger of fire, proclaiming Ilion's capture and dispersion. And someone girding me said, through fire-bearers persuaded, Troia to be sacked now thinkest? Truly the woman's way, high to lift heart up. By such words I was made seem wit bewildered, yet still I sacrificed, and, female song with, a shout one man and other through the city, set up, congratulating in the god's seats, soothing the incense-eating flame right fragrant. And now what's more indeed, why needst thou tell me? I of the king himself shall learn the whole word. And, as may best be, I, my revered husband, shall hasten as he comes back to receive. For what's to a wife sweeter to see than this light, her husband by the gods saved, back from warfare, so as to open gates? This tell my husband, to come at soonest to his loving city. A faithful wife at home may he find, coming, such an one as he left, the dog of the household, trusty to him, adverse to the ill-minded, and in all else the same, no signet impress having done harm to in that time's duration. I know nor pleasure nor blameworthy converse with any other man more than bronze-dippings. Herald. Such boast as this of the voracious brimful is not bad for a high-born dame to send forth. Chorus. Aye, she spoke thus to thee, that hast a knowledge from clear interpreters, a speech most seemly. But speak thou, herald, Menelaus I ask of, if he, returning back in safety also, will come with you, this land's beloved chieftain. Herald. There's no way I might say things false and pleasant for friends to reap the fruits of through a long time. Chorus. How then, if speaking good, things true thou chance on? Herald. For, sundered, not well hidden things become they. The man has vanished from the Achaic army, he and his ship too, I announce no falsehood. Chorus. Whether forth-putting openly from Ilion, or did storm wide woe snatch him from the army? Herald, thou hast, like topping bowman, touched the target, and a long sorrow hast succinctly spoken. Chorus. Whether then of him, as alive or dead man, was the report by other sailors bruited? Herald. Nobody knows so as to tell out clearly, excepting Helios, who sustains earth's nature. Chorus. How sayest thou then? Did storm the naval army attack and end by the celestial's anger? Herald. It suits not to defile a day auspicious with ill-announcing speech, distinct each god's due. And when a messenger with gloomy visage to a city bears a fallen host's woes, god ward off, one popular wound that happens to the city, and many sacrificed from many households, men scourged by that two-thonged whip Ares loves so, double spear-headed curse, bloody yoke-couple, of woes like these doubtless who e'er comes waited. Him does it suit to sing the Erinnys' paean, but who, of matters saved, a glad news-bringer, comes to a city in good estate rejoicing? How shall I mix good things with evil, telling of storm against the Achaeoi, urged by God's wrath? For they swore league, being arch-foes before that, fire and the sea, and plighted troth approved they, destroying the unhappy Argaean army, at night began the bad wave outbreak evils. For, ships against each other, Thracian breezes shattered, and these, butted at in a fury by storm and typhoon, with surge rain resounding, off they went, vanished, through a bad herd's whirling. And, when returned the brilliant light of Helios, we view the Aegean Sea on flower with corpses of men Achaean and with naval ravage. But us indeed, and ship, unhurt in the hull too, either someone outstole us or outprayed us. Some god, no man it was the tiller touching. And Fortune's saviour willing on our ship sat, so as it neither had in harbour wave surge, nor ran aground against a shore all rocky. And then, the water Hades having fled from in the white day, not trusting to our fortune, we chewed the cud in thoughts, this novel sorrow or the army, labouring and badly pounded. And now, of them, if any one is breathing, they talk of us as having perished. Why not? And we, that they the same fate have, imagine. May it be for the best. Menelaus, then, foremost and specially to come, expect thou. If, that is, any ray of the sun reports him, living and seeing too, by Zeus's contrivings, not yet disposed to quite destroy the lineage, some hope is he shall come again to household. Having heard such things, know thou truth art hearing. Chorus. Who may he have been that named thus holy with exactitude? Was he someone whom we see not, by forecastings of the future, guiding tongue in happy mood? Her with battle for a bridegroom, on all sides contention wooed, Helena? Since, mark the suture, ship's hell, man's hell, city's hell, from the delicately pompous curtains that pavilion well, forth by favour of the gale of earth-born Zephyros did she sail. Many shield-bearers, leaders of the pack, sailed too upon their track, theirs who had directed oar, then visible no more, to Simois' leaf-luxuriant shore, for sake of strife all gore. To Ilian wrath, fulfilling her intent, this marriage care, the rightly named so, sent. In aftertime, for the table's abuse and that of the hearth partaker Zeus, bringing to punishment those who honoured with noisy throat the honour of the bride, the hymeneal note which did the kinsfolk then to singing urge. But, learning a new hymn for that which was, the ancient city of Priamus groans probably a great and general dirge, denominating Paris the man that miserably marries. She who all the while before, a life, that was a general dirge, for citizens unhappy slaughter bore. And thus a man, by no milk's help, within his household reared a lion's whelp, that loved the teat in life's first festal stage, gentle as yet, a true child-lover, and to men of age a thing whereat pride warms. And oft he had it in his arms, like any new-born babe, bright-faced, to hand wagging its tail at belly's strict command. But in due time upgrown, the custom of progenitors was shown. For thanks for sustenance repaying, with ravage of sheep slaughtered, it made unbidden feast. With blood the house was watered. To household, woe there was no staying, great mischief many slaying. From God it was, some priest of Ate in the house, by nurture thus increased. At first then to the city of Ilion went a soul, as I might say, a windless calm, wealth's quiet ornament, an eye's dart bearing balm, love's spirit-biting flower. But, from the true course bending, she brought about of marriage bitter ending, ill-resident, ill-mate in power, passing to the Primidae by sending of hospitable Zeus, Erinus for a bride, to make brides mourn her dower. Spoken long ago was the ancient saying, still among mortals staying. Man's great prosperity at height of rise engenders offspring, nor unchilded dies, and from good fortune to such families buds forth insatiate woe. Whereas distinct from any of my own mind I am, for 'tis the unholy deed begets the many, resembling each its dam. Of households that correctly estimate, ever a beauteous child is born of fate. But ancient arrogance delights to generate arrogance, young and strong mid mortal sorrow, or now and then when comes the appointed morrow, and she bears young satiety, and, fiend with whom nor fight nor war can be, unholy daring, twin black curses within the household, children like their nurses. But justice shines in smoke-grimed habitations, and honors the well-omened life, while gold-besprinkled stations where the hand's filth is rife, with backward-turning eyes leaving, to holy seats she hies, not worshipping the power of wealth stamped with applause by stealth, and to its end directs each thing begun. Approach then, my monarch, of Troia the sacker, of Atreus the son. How ought I address thee, how ought I revere thee, nor yet overhitting, nor yet underbending the grace that is fitting? Many of mortals hasten to honour the seeming to be, passing by justice, and with the ill-faring to groan as he groans all are free. But no bite of the sorrow their liver has reached to. They say with a joyful, one outside on each two, as they force to a smile smileless faces. But whoever is good at distinguishing races in sheep of his flock, it is not for the eyes of a man to escape such a shepherd's surprise, as they seem from a well-wishing mind in watery friendship to fawn and be kind. Thou to me, then, indeed, sending an army for Helena's sake, I will not conceal it, wast, oh, by no help of the Muses, depicted not well of thy midriff the rudder directing, convicted of bringing a boldness they did not desire to the men with existence at stake. But now, from no outside of mind, nor unlovingly, gracious thou art to those who have ended the labour fulfilling their part. And in time shalt thou know, by inquiry instructed, who of citizens justly, and who not to purpose, the city conducted. Agamemnon. First indeed Argos, and the gods, the local, 'tis right addressing, those with me the partners, in this return and right things done, the city of Priamos, gods who from no tongue hearing the rights of the cause, for Ilion's fate man slaughterous into the bloody vase, not oscillating, put the vote pebbles, while, of the rival vessel, hope rose up to the lip-edge, filled it was not. By smoke the captured city is still conspicuous. Ate's burnt offerings live, and dying with them, the ash sends forth the fulsome blasts of riches. Of these things to the gods' grace many mindful, 'tis right I render, since both nets outrageous we built them round with, and for sake of woman it did the city to dust, the Argeian monster, the horses nestling, the shield-bearing people that made a leap at setting of the Pleiads, and vaulting o'er the tower, the raw-flesh-feeding lion licked up his fill of blood tyrannic. I to the gods indeed prolong this preface, but as for thy thought, I remember hearing, I say the same, and thou co-pleader hast me. Since few of men this faculty is born with, their friends successful without grudge to honour. For moody on the heart a poison seated, its burthen doubles to who gained the sickness. By his own griefs he is himself made heavy, and out-of-door prosperity seeing groans at. Knowing I'd call, for well have I experienced fellowship's mirror, phantom of a shadow, those seeming to be mighty gracious to me. While just Odysseus, he who sailed not willing, when joined on was to me the ready trace-horse. This of him, whether dead or whether living, I say, for other city and god's concernment, appointing common courts in full assemblage, we will consult. And as for what holds seemly, how it may lasting stay well must be counselled. While what has need of medicine, Paeonian, we, either burning or else cutting kindly, will make endeavour pain to turn from sickness. And now, into the domes and homes by altar going, I to the gods first raise the right hand, they who far sending back again have brought me, and victory since she followed, fixed remain she. Clytemnestra. Men, citizens, Argeians here, my worships, I shall not shame me consort loving manners to tell before you, for in time there dies off the diffidence from people. Not from others learning, I of myself will tell the hard life I bore so long as this man was neath Ilion. First, for a woman from the male divided to sit at home alone is monstrous evil, hearing the many rumours back revenging. And for now this to come, now that bring after woe, and still worse woe, bawling in the household. And truly, if so many wounds had chanced on my husband here, as homeward used to dribble report, he's pierced more than a net to speak of. While were he dying, as the words abounded, a triple-bodied Geryon the second, plenty above, for loads below I count not, of earth a three-share cloak he'd boast of taking, once only dying in each several figure. Because of such like rumours back revenging, many the halters from my neck, above head, others than I loosed, loosed from neck by main force. From this cause sure the boy stands not beside me, possessor of our troth plights, thine and mine too, as aught Orestes, be not thou astonished. For him brings up our well-disposed guest captive, Strophios the Phocian, ills that told on both sides to me predicting, both of thee 'neath Ilion the danger, and if anarchy's mob uproar thy counsel should o'erthrow, since it is born with mortals, whoe'er has fallen the more to kick him. Such an excuse, I think, no cunning carries. As for myself, why, of my wails the rushing fountains are dried up, not in them a drop more. And in my late-to-bed eyes' damage have I bewailing what concerned thee, those torch-holdings forever unattended to. In dreams, why, beneath the light wing-beats of the gnat, I woke up as he went buzzing, sorrows that concerned thee seeing, that filled more than their fellow sleep-time. Now all this having suffered, from soul grief-free I would style this man here the dog of the stables, the saviour forestay of the ship, the high roof's ground-prop, son sole begotten to his father, I, land appearing to the sailors past hope, loveliest day to see after a tempest, to the wayfaring one athirst a wellspring, the joy, in short, of scaping all that's fatal. I judge him worth addresses such as these are, envy stand off, for many those old evils we underwent. And now to me, dear headship, dismount thou from this car, not earthward setting the foot of thine, O king, that's Ilion's spoiler. Slave maids, why tarry? Who's the task allotted, the soil of the road to strew with carpet spreadings? Immediately be purple-strewn the pathway, so that to home unhoped may lead him, justice. As for the rest, care shall, by no sleep conquered, dispose things, justly gods to aid appointed. Agamemnon. Offspring of Leda, of my household warder, suitably to my absence hast thou spoken, for long the speech thou didst outstretch, but aptly to praise, from others ought to go this favour. And for the rest, not me in woman's fashion mollify, nor, as mode of barbarous man is, to me gape forth a groundward falling clamour, nor, strewing it with garments, make my passage envied. God sure with these behooves us honour, but for a mortal on these varied beauties to walk, to me indeed is nowise fear-free. I say, as man, not God, to me do homage. Apart from footmats both and varied vestures, renown is loud, and, not to lose one's senses, God's greatest gift. Behooves us him call happy, who life has brought to end in loved well-being. Of all things I might manage thus, brave man I. Clytemnestra. Come now, this say, nor feign a feeling to me. Agamemnon. With feeling, no, indeed, I do not tamper. Clytemnestra. Vowedst thou to the gods in fear to act thus? Agamemnon. If any, I well knew resolve I outspoke. Clytemnestra. What think'st thou Priamos had done, thus victor? Agamemnon. On varied vests I do think he had passaged. Clytemnestra. Then do not, struck with awe at human censure. Agamemnon. Well, popular mob outcry much avails too. Clytemnestra. Aye, but the unenvied is not the much valued. Agamemnon. Sure, 'tis no woman's part to long for battle. Clytemnestra. Why, to the prosperous even suits a beating. Agamemnon. What? Thou this beating us in war dost prize too? Clytemnestra. Persuade thee. Power for once grant me, and willing. Agamemnon. But if this seems so to thee, shoes, let someone loose under quick, foot serviceable carriage, and me on these sea products walking, may no grudge from a distance, from the god's eye, strike at. For great shame were my strewment spoiling, riches spoiling with feet, and silver purchased textures, of these things thus then. But this female stranger tenderly take inside, who conquers mildly, God from afar benignantly regardeth, For willing, no one wears a yoke that's servile. And she, of many valuables, outpicked the flower, the army's gift, myself has followed so. Since to hear thee I am brought about thus, I go into the palace purples treading. Clytemnestra. There is the sea, and what man shall exhaust it? Feeding much purples worth its weight in silver dye, ever fresh and fresh our garments tincture. At home, such wealth, king, we begin, by God's help, with having and to lack the household knows not. Of many garments had I vowed a treading in oracles if four enjoined the household. Of this dear soul the safe return price scheming. For root existing, foliage goes up houses, shadow o'erspreading against Sirius's dog star. And thou, returning to the hearth domestic, warmth, yea, in winter dost thou show returning. And when, too, Zeus works, from the green gripe acrid, wine then already cool in houses cometh, the perfect man, his home perambulating. Zeus, Zeus, perfecter, these my prayers perfect thou. Thy care be, yea, of things thou mayst make perfect. Chorus. Wherefore to me this fear? Groundedly stationed here, fronting my heart, the portent watcher flits she? Wherefore should prophet play the uncalled, unpaid lay? Nor, having spat forth fear like bad dreams, sits she on the mind's throne beloved, well suasive boldness. For time since, by a throw of all the hands, the boat's stern cables touch the sands, has passed from youth to oldness, when under Ilion rushed the ship-borne bands, and from my eyes I learn, being myself my witness, their return. Yet all the same, without a lyre, my soul, itself its teacher too, chants from within, Erinus's dirge, not having now the whole of hope's dear boldness, nor my inward sin. The heart that's rolled in whirls against the mind, justly presageful of a fate behind. But I pray, things false from my hope may fall into the fate that's not fulfilled at all. Especially at least of health that's great, the term's insatiable, for its weight a neighbor with a common wall between, ever will sickness lean. And destiny, her course pursuing straight, has struck man's ship against a reef unseen. Now when a portion rather than the treasure fear casts from sling, with peril in right measure, it hast not sunk the universal freight, with misery freighted over full. Nor has fear whelmed the hull. Then too the gift of Zeus, two-handedly profuse, even from the furrow's yield for yearly use, has done away with famine, the disease. But blood of man to earth once falling, deadly black, in times ere these, who may by singing spells call back? Zeus had not else stopped one who rightly knew the way to bring the dead again. But did not an appointed fate constrain the fate from gods, to bear no more than due? My heart outstripping what tongue utters, would have all out, which now in darkness mutters, moodily grieved, nor ever hopes to find how she a word in season may unwind from out the enkindling mind. Clytemnestra. Take thyself in, thou too, I say, Cassandra, since Zeus not angrily in household place thee, partaker of hand-sprinklings, with the many slaves stationed, his the owner's altar close to. Descend from out this car, nor be high-minded. And truly they do say Alcmene's child once bore being sold, slaves barley-bread his living. If then necessity of this lot or balance, much is the favour of old wealthy masters. For those who never hoping made fine harvest are harsh to slaves in all things, beyond measure. Thou hast with us such usage as law warrants. Chorus. To thee it was, she paused plain speech from speaking, being inside the fatal nets obeying. Thou mayst obey, but thou mayst disobey too. Clytemnestra. Why, if she is not in the swallow's fashion, an unknown and barbaric voice possessed of, I with speech speaking in mind's scope persuade her. Chorus. Follow. The best as things now stand she speaks of. Obey thou, leaving this thy car enthronement. Clytemnestra. Well, with this thing at door, for me no leisure to waste time, as concerns the hearth mid-navelled, already stand the sheep for fireside slaying by those who never hope to have such favour. If thou then aught of this wilt do, delay not. But if thou, being witless, takest no word in, speak thou instead of voice with hand as cars do. Chorus. She seems a plain interpreter in need of, the stranger, and her way a beast new captured. Clytemnestra. Why, she is mad, sure, hears her own bad senses, who, while she comes, leaving a town new captured, yet knows not how to bear the bit of the bridle, before she has outfrothed her bloody fierceness. Not I, throwing away more words, will shamed be. Chorus. But I, for I compassionate, will chafe not. Come, O unhappy one, this car vacating, yielding to this necessity, prove yoke's use. Cassandra. O Totoi, God's earth, Apollon, Apollon. Chorus. Why didst thou, O Totoi, concerning Loxias, since he is none such as to suit a mourner? Cassandra. O Totoi, God's earth, Apollon, Apollon. Chorus. Ill-boding, here again the god invokes she, nowise empowered in woes to stand by helpful. Cassandra. Apollon, Apollon, guard of the ways, my destroyer, for thou hast quite the second time destroyed me. Chorus. To prophesy she seems of her own evils, remains the god gift to the slave soul present. Cassandra. Apollon, Apollon, guard of the ways, my destroyer, ha, whither hast thou led me, to what roof now? Chorus. To the Atreides' roof. If this thou know'st not, I tell it thee, nor this wilt thou call falsehood. Cassandra. How? God hated then. Of many a crime it knew, self-slaying evils, halters too, man's shambles, blood besprinkler of the ground. Chorus. She seems to be good-nosed, the stranger, dog-like. She snuffs indeed the victim she will find there. Cassandra. How? By the witnesses here I am certain now, these children bewailing their slaughters, flesh dressed in the fire and devoured by their sire. Chorus. Aye, we have heard of thy soothsaying glory, doubtless, but prophets none are we in scent of. Cassandra. Ah, gods, whatever does she meditate? What this new anguish great? Great in the house here she meditates ill, such as friends cannot bear, cannot cure it, and still off stands all resistance afar in the distance. Chorus. Of these I witless am, these prophesyings, but those I knew, for the whole city bruits them. Cassandra. Ah, unhappy one, this thou consummatest? Thy husband, thy bed's common guest, in the bath having brightened, how shall I declare consummation? It soon will be there, for hand after hand she outstretches at life as she reaches. Chorus. Nor yet I've gone with thee, for, after riddles, now in blind oracles I feel resourceless. Cassandra. Papai, what this I espy? Some net of Hades, undoubtedly. Nay, rather, the snare is she who has share in his bed, who takes part in the murder there. But may a revolt, unceasing assault, on the race raise a shout sacrificial about a victim by stoning for murder atoning. Chorus. What this Erinus, which in the house thou callest to raise her cry? Not me thy word enlightens. To my heart has run a drop of the crocus dye, which makes for those on earth by the spear that lie a common close with life's descending sun. Swift is the curse begun. Cassandra. How? See, quick, keep the bull from the cow. In the vesture she, catching him, strikes him now with the black horn trick, and he falls in the watery vase. Of the craft-killing cauldron I tell thee the case. Chorus. I would not boast to be a topping critic of oracles, but to some sort of evil I liken these. From oracles what good speech to mortals beside is sent? It comes of their evils, these arts word-abounding that sing the event, Bring the fear 'tis their office to teach. Cassandra. Ah me, ah me, of me unhappy, evil destined fortunes ! For I bewail my proper woe, as mine with his all into one I throw. Why hast thou hither me unhappy brought ? Unless that I should die with him, for naught, what else was sought ? Chorus. Thou art some mind mazed creature, god possessed, and all about thyself dost wail a lay, no lay, like some brown nightingale insatiable of noise, who, well away, from her unhappy breast keeps moaning Itus, Itus, and his life with evils flourishing on each side rife. Cassandra. Ah me, ah me, the fate of the nightingale, the clear resounder, for a body wing-born have the gods cast round her, and sweet existence from misfortunes free. But for myself remains a sundering with spear the two-edged thing. Chorus. Whence hast thou this on-rushing god-involving pain and spasms in vain? For things that terrify, with changing unintelligible cry thou strikest up in tune, yet all the while after that Orthian style. Whence hast thou limits to the oracular road that evils bode? Cassandra. Ah me, the nuptials of Paris, the deadly to friends. Ah me, of Scamandros the draught paternal, there once to these ends, on thy banks was I brought, the unhappy. And now by Cocytus and Acheron's shore, I shall soon be, it seems, these my oracles singing once more. Chorus. Why this word? Plain too much hast thou uttered. A babe might learn of such. I am struck with a bloody bite here under at the fate woe wreaking of thee shrill shrieking. To me who hear, a wonder. Cassandra. Ah me, the toils of the city, the holy destroyed. Ah pity, of the sacrificings my father made in the ramparts' aid, much slaughter of grass-fed flocks that afforded no cure that the city should not, as it does now, the burthen endure. But I, with the soul on fire, soon to the earth shall cast me and expire. Chorus. Two things on the former consequent, again hast thou given vent. And 'tis some evil-meaning fiend dost move thee, heavily falling from above thee, to melodize thy sorrows, else in singing, calamitous, death-bringing. And of all this the end I am without resource to apprehend. Cassandra. Well then, the oracle from veils no longer shall be outlooking like a bride new married, but bright it seems against the sun's uprisings breathing to penetrate thee, so as, wave-like, to wash against the rays a woe much greater than this. I will no longer teach by riddles, and witness running with me that of evils done long ago, I nosing track the footstep. For this same roof here never quits a chorus one-voiced, not well tuned, since no well it utters, and truly having drunk to get more courage man's blood, the Comos keeps within the household, hard to be sent outside of sister furies. They hymn their hymn, within the house close sitting, the first beginning curse, in turn spit forth at the brother's bed, to him who spurned it hostile. Have I missed aught, or hit I like a bowman? False prophet am I, knock at doors, a babbler? Henceforward witness, swearing now, I know not, by other's word, the old sins of this household. End of part 2, recording by Expatriate in Bangor, Maine.